And now, it's sports time. Featuring forecasts, plot synopsis, character studies, explanations, and interviews. Making sports accessible to everyone, from the diehard to the hardly interested. With your host, Ezra Fisher, it's the Dear Sports Fan Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to America's favorite game show that has actually never happened before and no one has ever heard of it. It's Pitch the Sport. All right, here's how it works. As your host, I have 1 minute to pitch a sporting event to someone who is not a sports fan. If, after my pitch, they're interested in watching, I get a point. That's it. Now, why would we play such a game? Well, it's a good way to quickly learn about a set of games to see if you're interested in following any of them. And it's also a great way for me to learn from you about what may or may not make a sport interesting to a layperson. During this episode, I'll be pitching the 15 NFL football games that will take place during the first weekend of the NFL season on Sunday, September 13th and Monday, September 14th. Our guest today is Max Niesenbaum. Max, could you introduce yourself and say a little something about your relationship to sports before we get started?
Yeah, sure. My name is Max. I'm a psychologist. I grew up not really playing sports and not following sports. But when I was in high school, I joined a wrestling team, and I wrestled my senior year, and then I started running and jogging, so I did that for exercise. And about a year ago, I started rock climbing, and that's a sport that I've really been enjoying. But in terms of like team sports, like football, soccer, those are things that I never really got into. Basketball, baseball, never really got into it. Sometimes I've watched sports, but I just can't get into it for the most part.
Great.
I mean, I find them interesting, but the time commitment is too much for me.
All right. So we'll aim for, we'll try to get you interested in at least one game tomorrow and the next day. Well, thanks for being on. So, let's start at 1 p.m. on Sunday. That's tomorrow, September 13th. This game is on CBS. It's the Kansas City Chiefs at the Houston Texans. So I'll start the clock. Ding! There's no clock. Whatever. This game is interesting because both the teams involved go against the grain of the modern NFL. The NFL has largely become a generic league with teams that all play pretty much the same way and all pretty much focus on winning by having their quarterback throw passes to their wide receivers better than the other guy. Last year, the Kansas City Chiefs managed to win 9 out of 16 games without a single touchdown pass to a wide receiver. Their focus is on moving the ball in short chunks and then running it into the end zone. The Texans seem to eschew offense altogether and focus on defense. Their best player is a defensive lineman, J.J. Watt, who is the best defensive player in the entire league and an extraordinary force to watch. He seems to be able to go over, under, around, or through blockers at will to mess up the opposing team's offensive plan. This game will show a much greater variety of how football can be won than any other this weekend. So, Max, are you interested?
Yeah, actually I am interested. Yeah, I mean, look, I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I could. It's hard to commit to watching a full-length football game, but I'm interested, especially if the company is right.
Cool. All right, we'll try the next one. Also at 1 p.m., so this one is directly competitive with that game, it's the Indianapolis Colts at Buffalo Bills. So the last time the Colts played football at all, it was last winter, and they lost to the New England Patriots in what became that notorious ball deflation game, which is kind of funny because the tactical story of that game had nothing to do with how inflated the ball was. It wouldn't have mattered if they were playing with beach balls or with rocks. The Patriots won because they literally pushed the Colts around, and the Colts couldn't stop them. That's not a good sign for the Colts in this game, since physicality is the signature of Buffalo Bills' new coach, Rex Ryan. Ryan is a legacy defensive mastermind. His father invented a bunch of the defensive tactics that are used today as a longtime NFL coach. Ryan doesn't care much about offense, which is sometimes a weakness, and in fact, he just got fired last season from the New York Jets. But he often expresses this sort of not caring about offense as much by trying to reduce it to a game of power, something which honestly might work against the Colts. Interested or not?
Well, so in this case, if I'm interested in this one too, does that mean that I can't watch the other one?
Yeah, I don't know. We've never done this before. I think you could say you're interested. You could always get two TVs.
I'm less interested. I guess I'm less interested.
Okay.
Than the other one, but I'm still interested. And in both cases, I have a little bit of a reason. See, Ezra, I think it might be harsh with this game with me because I have a lot. I'm a very interested person. I have interest.
All right, so less interested. We can go with more interested and less, or should we do a certain number of thumbs up?
Well, I like the fact that you presented two that were at the same time, so I'd have to technically in the real world. I mean, I guess I could flip between channels, but I would have to choose one and focus on it, or if I went to a bar or something to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, and they were showing one game at this bar, not the other.
Yeah. So let's do. So
if I had to choose.
Yeah.
I was going to say that what I like about the first one is I like the strategic, the fact that they're kind of, it sounds like there's a kind of like a paradigm shift in the thinking of the development of the strategy in that first game in Texas.
Cool.
And that's appealing to me. It'd be interesting to learn about that.
Okay. So far, we're still with the first one.
Yeah.
All right, that's good.
This one seems to be more high profile because they had the whole deflation scandal.
True. All right, so we got another one at one. Let's see if we can move you off of that Kansas City Chiefs-Houston Texans game. So this one is on Fox. It's the Green Bay Packers at Chicago Bears. And these two teams have been playing each other since 1921. It's the longest rivalry in NFL history, and taken as a whole, it's been remarkably even. The Bears have the lead, having won 93 games and lost 91. The smart bet tomorrow is on Green Bay to pull within one game of the Bears overall. They have the better quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who is one of the most efficient and athletic in the league, and a younger, deeper roster. The Bears quarterback is this guy, Jay Cutler. He's basically the antithesis of Rodgers. He's surly to the point of unfriendliness. His facial expressions have inspired several ironic internet memes, one with him just people photoshopping pictures of him smoking cigarettes in the middle of football games. Bears fans are always at the edge of their seat waiting to turn on Cutler because they don't really like him to start out with. That's a tough environment to play in, but Cutler is a pretty tough player to root for.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the game.
That's the game.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the long history of these two teams, that's appealing to me.
Yeah.
I'm still going to go with the first one. I like the idea of the strategic, learning about the strategic thinking there and how it's different from how football has been played traditionally.
Awesome.
I'm going to go with the first one.
Cool. All right. We got a couple more games at one. So far you're with that first one. We'll see. We'll see where we end up. So also at 1 p.m., Carolina Panthers at Jacksonville Jaguars. So there's an old blues song recorded by Ruth Brown that goes, "I've been down so long that down don't worry me." I don't think that's how it goes, but that should be the theme song of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who haven't had a winning season since 2007 and only three since 2000. There is some hope in Jacksonville this year, but it's a quiet, carefully guarded hope. A win against the Carolina Panthers would go a long way to feeding that flame. The Panthers and Jaguars actually entered the NFL as new teams in the same year and have sort of been rivals ever since, at least off the field. The rivalry is actually built into the Jaguars logo. If you look at it carefully, the head of the Jaguar has a Panther's teal-colored tongue. So that was a little jab by the Jaguars there. So that's this game.
Still, I would still pick the first one.
All right. Good. I think I'm with you, actually. I'm interested in that first one, too. All right, we've got three more games at 1 o'clock. So we'll see if any of these three tempt you to switch the channel. So the next one, 1 p.m. CBS, Cleveland Browns at New York Jets. Quarterback is by far the most important position in football. So what does a team do when the young man it carefully selected to play quarterback doesn't work out? Both the teams in this game are facing that question. The Cleveland Browns quarterback, Johnny Manziel, came into the league with a reputation for partying a little bit too hard. Turns out that alcoholism probably would have been a better diagnosis. Even after a stint in rehab this summer, Manziel has not been able to make it back. I mean, he's back on the team, but he's not going to be starting. The Jets' handpicked quarterback, Geno Smith, is also out. He's injured for at least the next couple months because of a broken jaw he suffered after getting punched by a teammate, apparently over some $600 debt for a plane ticket to a charity appearance that someone owed, I don't even know. What do you do if you're one of these teams? Both of them will probably try to reduce this game to a test of will instead of skill and see who's the strongest.
So basically the quarterback is very important. And in each case here, the quarterback is somehow limited.
Yeah.
And everyone had been expecting these guys to be really, they just had much higher expectations.
That's right.
You know, two teams with the same player, same position, weakened or playing one another.
Yeah.
There's something appealing to me about that.
Okay.
I'm not gonna pick it over the first one.
Okay. What's appealing to you about it?
I guess it has to do, again, I think what it is that I guess they're going to have to adjust their strategy in the way that they approach the game, because one of the pieces is weakened. Like, if you think about it in terms of, like, each player is a piece.
Yeah.
And then, so they have to adjust the rest of the strategy. But, and in this case, both teams are doing the same thing. And so I guess, again, it appeals to me because I feel like there's going to be some interesting strategic stuff.
Yeah, it's like two people trying to solve the same, what do you call them in rock climbing? Puzzles?
Problems.
Problems, yeah. It's like two people trying to solve the same problem. All right, but we're still on the first one. I'm agreeing with you so far. All right, two more at 1 p.m. Miami Dolphins at Washington Redskins. So this is also, the plot of this game is very much about the quarterback. There's a saying in football, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. And the idea of that is, you know, to be an effective quarterback, you need to have complete and unthreatened authority. So if you have two potential quarterbacks, it's not going to work out. So a few years back, I think four or five at this point, the Washington Redskins traded a whole slew of draft picks to take quarterback Robert Griffin III to be their star quarterback. In the same draft, several rounds later, they took a less well-regarded guy named Kirk Cousins, also a quarterback. People immediately said that would undercut RG3, as he's known. But after a really great rookie season, the question of authority seemed moot. Since that first year, though, RG3 has been alternatively injured and just bad at football. He's been the subject of many behind-the-scenes struggles between coaches who didn't really want him to be playing for them and an owner of the team who seemed unable to let him go. He once again lost his job during training camp to, you guessed it, Kirk Cousins, the guy who was drafted several rounds after him. Cousins is going to start this game, and basically, if you've ever, you know, rubbernecked on the side of a road when there's a little fender bender, that's what's going on in this game. It's a real soap opera in Washington, D.C.
I thought, you know, I'm really interested in why it is that having two quarterbacks is bad, and I want to know more about what all that means. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that all of this, and then what is it about that dynamic that people thought would interfere with RG3.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, but I don't know if that's going to really be played out in this game. But that is interesting to me.
Cool.
And now I'm just getting confused about what I want.
No, I think you're right. I think it's an interesting drama, but you may not. I think the only way we would learn more about that is if Cousins plays really poorly and they bring in a different quarterback in the game. But you're right. That's more of a you have to follow that team over the whole season to understand the drama type thing. All right, last chance to get you away from the Houston Texans and Kansas City Chiefs at 1 p.m. So this one is the Seattle Seahawks at St. Louis Rams. This game is, I think this might do it. It's really compelling. So if you're one of the more than 115 million people who watched last year's Super Bowl, then you probably remember how Seattle basically had the game won before doing something so spectacularly idiotic that it allowed the Patriots to win at the last second. So imagine the worst professional mistake you've ever made and then multiply it by about 100. That's what being a Seahawk must have been like. Now imagine that your next day at work after that was going to be watched live by about 70,000 people in person and on TV by another 10 or 15 million or so. This game is that next day at work.
Who are they playing? Are they playing the Patriots again?
They're not playing the Patriots again. They're playing the St. Louis Rams, who are a relatively decent team that has been stuck in the best division in football. So there's 32 NFL teams. They're split up into four-team divisions. And you play each team within your division twice. So they've basically had six extraordinarily tough games every year, and they haven't been able to get over the hump.
Mm-hmm. Wait, but this is not the first game since the Super Bowl, right?
It is.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It's
okay.
The first game for the Seahawks.
That makes it compelling for sure.
Yeah.
It does make it compelling. But I didn't watch the Super Bowl.
Ah, you're not one of the more than 115 million people. Awesome. All right, so you're watching the 1 o'clock. You will be watching. You may not actually be watching, but you would be watching the Kansas City Chiefs and Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Cool. So as often is the case with the NFL, there's like a bunch of games at 1, and then there's a few games at 4 o'clock or 4:30. So we'll run through those games. So first one of those games is the Detroit Lions at San Diego Chargers. One of the fun things about watching early season games in San Diego is that they share their stadium with a baseball team, the San Diego Padres. And while baseball is still in season, they have to play on the baseball field. So they flatten out the pitcher's mound, but they can't really avoid all of the infield dirt. So you get to watch professional football players who are earning millions of dollars in the most popular sports league in America, scrambling around in the dirt and tripping over the edge where the dirt meets the grass. So I don't know why I like that so much, but I'm all in favor of anything that kind of cuts the NFL down a little bit and adds to the chaos of a football game.
Mm-hmm. That sounds interesting, yeah.
All right. So, well, it's the first one at 4.
What they play on changes the way they play, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it does. I mean, it's not like they're playing on a field with like a foot drop, but it does sometimes get in the way. Mm. All right, so we'll stick with that one for now. Here's another one at 4 o'clock. It's New Orleans Saints at Arizona Cardinals. So sure, you know, games between teams with great offenses are fun to watch, and games between teams with great defenses are really breathtaking, if maybe a bit scary sometimes. But I think to create the most interesting game possible, you need a matchup between one team with a great offense and one with a great defense. The New Orleans Saints have an aging but still wonderful quarterback in Drew Brees, whose command of his team's offense is complete. When he's playing well, he makes the concept of defense seem sort of fruitless. On the other side, the Arizona Cardinals are really reinventing the way defense is played. Their players are constantly moving in directions you don't expect and doing things other teams wouldn't really bother trying. One example is often teams will play with two safeties. So these are the guys in a park football game. They're the guys who sort of hang in the back of the defense and try to watch the quarterback's eyes to see where he's going to throw the ball. So most teams play with two guys back there. The Cardinals sometimes will play actually five players in that position. So watch in particular for a colorful character and scintillating player, Tyrann Mathieu, who's better known in his college days as the Honey Badger. That's a little bonus.
Okay, I'm definitely interested in this one.
Yeah.
Over the first one.
Okay. Yeah.
The first one at four, that is.
The first one is what? At
the
four?
The first one at four, like,
yeah.
I would watch this one over that.
Yeah, you're definitely into the tactics or the strategy, I think.
Yeah, that's appealing to me.
Gotcha. All right, the next one, the Cincinnati Bengals at Oakland Raiders. I'm not going to try to sell you on the strategy. I'm going to try to sell you on the sort of personality of the Oakland Raiders. They are the villains of the NFL. They've got these black and silver uniforms that really symbolize the dark side of football. They will hire players with super shady backgrounds and use them in an attempt to win games in the most just direct and brutal way possible. They want to beat up the opposing quarterback, and on offense, they're not messing around. They basically want really fast guys to run straight down the field, and they want to throw the ball as far as possible and then catch it. Mm-hmm. I think the league is better in terms of drama and plot when the Raiders are good, because it gives the league a really, really good villain. This hasn't been the case for a long time, but this year there is some hope for the team. And beating, frankly, what's a pretty boring Bengals team would help the Raiders jumpstart their own shady renaissance.
Yeah, it's interesting that there seems like a bunch of badasses on the team, but it's not going to win me over.
Nope. Okay. All right. I will keep trying. All right, 4:30, Baltimore Ravens at Denver Broncos. So let me ask you a question. Are you into movies where an aging hero battles against the odds to survive and succeed?
Taken.
Like Taken, or I was thinking like, you know, John Wayne, and I don't know if you've seen the movie The Shootist, or like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, I think, although I didn't see that. Or even Robert Redford in that movie where he drowns for 2 hours.
Okay, I'm not sure. Like the latest Mission Impossible.
Yeah. What's his name? Tom Cruise is pretty old at this point.
He must be.
So if you like those movies, you might like this game. Peyton Manning, the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, who I'm sure you've seen at least on television commercials, he's that type of hero. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, but he's only won a single Super Bowl title, and his many playoff failures really blemish his reputation. At 38 years old, the question isn't how many more chances he'll get in the playoffs. It's whether he'll even be able to survive the regular season to get to them. And that attempt starts today with this game.
Yeah, the personal story is interesting, and you know, since I'm going to be watching a very strategic game at 1 o'clock, I'll go with just the personal angle here.
Nice.
Let's take this one over.
See how Peyton Manning does.
Yeah.
Cool.
It sounds like he's very well known and has had a very accomplished career.
Yeah.
The commentary will be interesting.
Yeah. I think he's a pretty interesting character. I read an article once that was describing him as the only superstar football player who you could really imagine wearing a pocket protector. So, all right, there's one more at 4:30. We'll see if you go with stick with the Peyton Manning game or go with this one. So this is the Tennessee Titans at Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The quarterbacks of these two teams were the number one and number two overall draft pick in this year's NFL draft. Jameis Winston went first overall to Tampa Bay, followed by Marcus Mariota, who went second to Tennessee. The last time Winston was on the field, his team was actually getting beaten by Mariota's in a game that was 59-20 in the Rose Bowl. This is the most traditionally famous of the college football bowl games, and it was a semifinal in the first ever college football playoff, so Mariota knocked Winston out. Winston was really badly embarrassed in that game. He did a bunch of frankly, pretty ridiculous things. So the fact that Winston is the guy who was infamously not charged in what I hope was one of the most bungled police investigations ever, but what I fear was unfortunately somewhat par for the course when the police investigate star athletes. So the fact that he was still drafted ahead of Mariota has to drive the Titans quarterback crazy. If you like rivalry and clear morality plays, then you want to watch this game and root for the Titans.
Hmm. What do you mean morality plays?
Winston's a bad dude. He's almost definitely a rapist. So it gives you a really clear reason to root for one team and against the other.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go with the Peyton Manning game.
Yeah. Because it's also pretty unsavory to watch someone who's almost definitely a rapist make millions of dollars playing a game. I think I'm with you.
Probably more infuriating.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we've got three more. And these are all at different times. So you just say if it's interesting or not. They're not against each other. So at 8:30 p.m. on Sunday night on NBC, it's the New York Giants at Dallas Cowboys. So do you like pomp and circumstance? Are you into giant spectacles? There's none bigger during the first weekend of the NFL season than this game between the New York Giants and Dallas Cowboys. They're two of the five most popular teams in the entire league. And, you know, with apologies to the New England Patriots, whose notoriety is relatively recent, and the Raiders, who are just one-sided pretty much, the Cowboys are simultaneously the league's most popular heroes and most hated villains. They're known as America's Team, a moniker that drives their many rivals totally crazy. The Giants are one of the Cowboys' biggest rivals, and their fan base is pretty hopeful going into this season, largely because of the ridiculous abilities of a young wide receiver named Odell Beckham Jr. He was the guy, I'm not sure if you saw this, but he was the guy who made a ridiculous one-handed, it was really, he caught the ball with two fingers while falling backwards last year.
Wow. Didn't see it.
Didn't see it. Yeah. All right, so this is actually a good, it's serving its purpose for me, I think.
Oh, yeah. So, I'm interested. I mean, it sounds like it's two important teams, and I think, and it's always interesting just for me to, I guess, just this young guy and how talented he is, it's kind of enticing to see how he plays.
Yeah. Yeah, this one will probably set records for the number of people who watch it. So maybe a better pitch would have been if you want to be a part of the American football zeitgeist, this is the one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. On Monday, there's two games. One is at 7 o'clock. It's on ESPN. It's the Philadelphia Eagles at Atlanta Falcons. If you want offense, this game is going to have it. The Eagles are one of the most innovative teams in the league. It's not just their offensive plays, which they, you know, seem to find ways to have people open all over the place. It's also their tempo. They speed the game up to warp speed on offense. Often they'll run a play maybe every 10 or 12 seconds. That's almost twice the speed of a normal team. The Falcons are not known for their defense, so they'll probably have to score a lot to keep up. Luckily, they're pretty good at scoring, too. They've got a great quarterback in Matt Ryan, who's nicknamed Matty Ice. I think that's just a beer reference. I'm not sure. And an amazing wide receiver named Julio Jones. The scoring in this game should be fast and furious.
That also sounds interesting. Yeah.
It's not surprising. The NFL is going to, they're trying to have the games that aren't up against other games, the most interesting ones. So, I think they've probably done a pretty good job. Yeah. Cause you know, they'll get more viewership.
Hmm.
All right. The last one, the nightcap of the weekend is at 10:20 PM Eastern time on ESPN. So already I have to say, like, I'm not interested cause that's pretty close to my bedtime, but you may be a night owl. This one is the Minnesota Vikings at San Francisco 49ers. So it is out on the West Coast. They'll be fine with that time. So this is the very, very last game of the weekend, and even the most diehard football fan would be forgiven for feeling some, you know, football fatigue by the time it starts. But not you. You've only watched the most interesting games. I think this is one of them. The Vikings have been bad for a really long time, but they seem to be on their way up with a rejuvenated but not fully rehabilitated Adrian Peterson. He was the guy who missed almost all of last season after being accused of child abuse.
Was it rape?
No, it was not rape. It was so. This one is kind of an interesting cultural thing that you might be interested in. He, as far as I can tell, he basically still doesn't think he did anything wrong. He just figures like, well, my mom beat me, and so I get to beat my children. And he thought it was legitimate parenting, and the larger society saw pictures of his very, very, very young son's legs and said, nope, wow. That's not parenting. That's physical abuse. So I think it's an interesting cultural, interesting and pretty horrible cultural thing. Yeah. Anyway, he is back this year. We assume, even though he missed a year, he's still the strongest running back in the league. And it's kind of a shame that he's in there because the rest of the team, I think, is totally interesting and promising and free of, at least as we know, free of any sort of moral conundrums. The 49ers, on the other hand, they have been very, very good recently, but they suffered more losses this summer than any team in memory. Their very talented coach left because he couldn't get along with the general manager. They had a star veteran linebacker who retired. They had a promising young guy who played the same position who was 23, and he retired because he said, well, I'm concerned about the future health of my brain, which I think is very reasonable. But he was really the first very young, high-profile NFL player to retire for that reason. And, you know, they lost their longtime running back. They lost a couple offensive linemen. A bunch of other important players left, too. So we really don't know what to expect from them. With one team going up, the Vikings, and one team going down, the 49ers, I think this game will be sort of an interesting test to see, you know, how much of winning is muscle memory and how much of it is talent.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to say I'm not going to be interested in this one so much.
Cool. Yeah. All right, so I think, to recap, you were interested in the Kansas City Chiefs and Houston Texans because they both play somewhat differently than most teams do. At 4 o'clock, that was at 1 o'clock Sunday, at 4 o'clock you were going to watch Peyton Manning in his fight against Father Time. And then you were interested in the Giants and the Cowboys because they're pretty, like, big, popular teams. And kind of interested in the Eagles and the Falcons just because they score a lot and the Eagles play really differently. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. All right, well, thanks for being on the game show.
No problem. It was very interesting. I learned a lot.
Thanks for listening to the Dear Sports Fan podcast. You can find more podcasts and tons of writing at dearsportsfan.com. If you like what you see and hear there, please subscribe. Thanks to Jesse Fisher for the theme music. He's at jessefisher.com. Have a great day.